Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime. So today, we thought we would talk about a big topic, which is passive-aggressive behavior, mm-hmm. and specifically, how to identify it and deal with it at work.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read a general description of passive-aggressive, and then we can talk about different ways we've seen it manifest in the workplace and what are some of the ways to handle it. Passive-aggressive behaviors are those that involve acting indirectly aggressive rather than directly aggressive. Passive-aggressive people exhibit resistance to requests or demands from other individuals, often by procrastinating, expressing sullenness, or acting stubborn. And I actually think passive-aggressive people also express their aggression by excluding, certainly at work, right? That's one way that you really can do it.
So in other words, they're not straightforward.
No.
They do everything in a passive way so that, what do they think, you're not going to see?
Well, I actually they can't think they know you're going to see. I think they know you're going to get it.
But they want to do it in a, it's very manipulative.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it usually, I mean, it's usually taught. You know, I think most people are taught how to be passive aggressive, or that's in their family system, or maybe their particular role. But it's something you learn, and then when you come to work, that's what you do.
Yeah.
So
for me, it's hard to trust people once they've shown me that.
That
well, at least I trust they're going to be passive aggressive. And I tend to call people on it, but that's I don't have coworkers. So if you have someone as a coworker who does that, I mean, we wrote about this, I think, in every book.
We did. We especially focused in Mean Girls at Work. We had the passive, and actually in our research, that was the most highly reported kind of mean girl behavior was passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah. Well, women are taught not to be direct.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, older generations were taught that.
Yeah.
Is it because it's more subtle, so it's perhaps more difficult to pinpoint or to prove this person is being manipulative or mean if it's passive?
Yeah.
No, they come off as being cooperative.
Right.
That's right.
Because they don't want to say no. Mm-hmm. But really, they do want to say no. So they just won't do what they said they're going to do, or they'll act out and blame it on you. They'll figure out some way to get out of what they couldn't get out of.
Right.
Right.
That's
because if a woman says no, you know, she doesn't look nice.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's part of it, is that you don't really learn that someone's passive aggressive until an incident comes up. Or it trips you up. Mm-hmm. So, for example, that's a great, you're saying someone doesn't want to do something. So maybe we talked about earlier this week, someone who's on your team, on a work team, and they say as they come on, sure, I'd love to participate. And then they do nothing. Or they, you know, show up late for every meeting, or they don't return your emails or your calls or texts or anything like that. So that's a form of passive aggression, because it's hurting you, in a sense, hurting the project and the team, but they're not outrightly saying, I don't want to do this.
Right.
And they never do, because even when you call them on it, they say, no, I really want to do it.
Yeah.
So
their actions and their behavior are not
consistent.
No.
Right.
So just to even be a little more specific, here are some of the things you may experience. That a coworker says something that sounds good but feels bad. Something like, oh, you're so cute. You are excluded from a meeting. They leave you out of an email. They cut you out of a project and don't tell you. They fail to give you important information. Maybe a boss gives two people the same assignment. And they maybe go behind your back and say, I can do a better job.
Ew. That's a saboteur. That's really a saboteur.
Yeah.
But yeah, it falls on the family. It's all
it's related.
It's definitely a relatable family member.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was, so this exists in my family. I think it probably exists in a lot of families also, which is one thing. But then when you come into the workplace and you experience it there, that I think it's quite stunning.
Stunning is a good word.
When you don't expect it, because you think, well, they're getting paid, I'm getting paid, like we all just do our job.
Sure.
And then you come across that, I think it's you're just not sure what to do with that person. But what we say in all of our books is that when you find out you have a passive aggressive coworker, is that you have to put everything in writing. And then you have to remind them.
Right.
And then, you know, and you want to include, maybe you do it in an email and you include your boss in that.
Yeah.
And then when they don't do it, you continue to, you send up a follow-up. Oh, I'm sorry, I must have missed you.
Right.
Or why I didn't get what you were going to be sending.
Right.
So you actually force them into either producing or they get caught.
Right. Mm.
So you do have tools at work.
Yeah. The thing I think that's key is that you have to stick to business tools instead of personality. Exactly. Because the temptation.
Oh, it's so sweet. Temptation. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is when, so let's say someone excludes you from an important meeting, you know, and you know, you have a sense that they did it on purpose. The temptation is A, to take it personally, and B, to personally take it out then on that person. Like, how dare you? You knew that was important. You always, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the passive-aggressive person will say, what do you mean? I'd never intentionally exclude you.
Which is even more infuriating.
Well, they get really stuck on the conversation rather than, you know, the truth.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
then
you're down that spiral. So you took it to the wrong place.
And you look like the crazy person.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to look crazy next to a passive aggressive.
Well, you don't want to look like the problem.
Exactly.
So I guess that what you're listening to is that it exists outside the house. It exists in the workplace. And this kind of stuff does happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do people ever grow out of this? I know a couple of people that have never grown out of it.
Do you know people who have?
Probably, yeah.
She had to think about it for a while.
I had to think about it.
I think you're right. I think that the person will grow out of it if they really want to. Like, because what it really boils down to is that the individual is emotionally dishonest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can't ever own what they're feeling, right? They can't just say, you're driving me crazy, or I really didn't like what you did, or I have issues with the way you're conducting yourself. Instead, they act out.
Which is not productive.
It's very...
None of these things that you're saying are productive.
But it happens.
But I think people do learn to eventually start to say no. I'm not able to do that, and that is better.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's hope for people that do it, and once they know that they do it, they have to get out of that.
Yes.
But for those that are dealing with it, the most important thing I think to know is to use the business tools.
Right.
And now let's go to the family for a minute, just because we're here.
Why not? We may as well.
What do you do in your family when somebody does that? I'm talking to you, Catherine.
Me?
What do you do?
Well, I will tell you what I do, and I think my whole thing about family systems is you have to divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never call the individual out in front of other family members. That will get you nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, honestly, Kathy, it's not so different from what we talk about in Mean Girls at Work, where you go to the individual and you say what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's say you planned a whole party and you didn't invite me. Mm-hmm. Let's say that's a family thing, right? That could happen in a family. And then you have to say, you don't have to, but, and I know, Kathy, you're tired of this line, but it helps in saying it may not have been your intention to.
No, I don't hate that line.
It's a little white lie.
So you say it may not have been your intention to leave me out, but you know, it hurt my feelings, and I hope going forward we can, you know, you'll include me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to address the behavior directly, but I still think, even personally, it's not helpful to say, I know what you really meant there.
You know, I have a particular family member, and you can't plan a party with them. It's actually a couple. You know, you can't plan a party with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they won't directly say what they like. They'll just sabotage you to see, get what they want. So they're very passive aggressive about that. So I just don't throw parties with them.
There you go.
That's my solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's another way to handle it.
Right.
I mean, you can decide that you don't want to deal with someone who's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I mean, I remember at one point in my training, there was a therapist who was very interactional, and he said the best way to stop a game is to stop playing it. So in a way, the best way to stop that couple from manipulating your parties is to stop inviting them to parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that can be a way of handling it as well.
Right.
But I think the key is a lot of times...
But I did explain first.
Sure.
I did say that behavior doesn't work for me, and I didn't appreciate it, and so I don't, you know, I'm not going to be doing this with you anymore.
Right.
Right, right. So you were just honest and straightforward.
Right. But to people that can't be, it doesn't, you know, it's, I don't know that it went anywhere. Yeah. Nothing ever, you know, came of it.
Yeah. Right. Well, but you may need to say that on your own behalf, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So for your own sanity, really.
Right.
Like, I know what's happening here.
By the way, no one plans parties with them anymore. Just saying.
You were right, by the way.
Yeah.
You called it before anyone else. No, it's really tough. And actually, it's funny because we talk about the whole punctuality thing. And I find one of the most passive-aggressive things is people who are
absolutely
chronically late.
Yes.
You know, that feels so disrespectful.
It is.
Yeah.
But... if you, again, I have individuals in my life for whom this is an issue, and it has never changed by virtue of me confronting them.
I always tell them the wrong time.
Right.
That's one way to work it.
Like I always tell them an hour earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they're going to be an hour late. So I'll say, yeah, we're all going to meet at 3 if it's at 4.
How does that work?
So then they come on time.
Does it work?
More often than not.
It's hit or miss.
It's hit or miss. Yeah.
Right. The other thing you can do with passive aggressive behavior is just set your boundary in advance. So, for example, if it is a time thing, you say, we'll meet at 8. I will be leaving at 8:20.
Yeah.
If you're not there, and hope to see you. That kind of thing.
I want to know, go back to your friend. Do they show up at 3? Do they show up early?
No, they always show up later.
Yeah.
That's
and is it a passive aggressive behavior?
It is a little bit, and it's a little bit of them just also being
stoned,
kind of on another planet. Always, you know,
spacey.
Where time for them is not, very spacey. That's a good word.
Yeah.
For time for them is, you know, they'll get there when they get there, and you know, they're not really.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's interesting too, because the shared characteristic between that and a passive aggressive person is that they just don't have. They're not very self aware.
Right.
I mean, a lot of times people can be passive aggressive and they honestly aren't, they're not aware of what they're doing that's hurtful to another person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another part of it.
I could see if it's really ingrained, or like you were saying earlier on, that it's something that's taught.
Yeah.
Maybe it not being a conscious thing, but.
Well, I've always been surprised and delighted when we do executive coaching and someone says, oh, yeah, I was taught never to say directly what you want.
Right.
Like, okay, great that you know that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure you help people with that all the time, Kathy.
I was taught that.
Yeah.
Mm. So how did you get out of that?
I think when I became an adult, I saw it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So
just being in the workplace.
I had learned that there was an assertiveness training for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I took a class in that, and that knocked it out.
It was
a course about how to speak up for yourself, and it was the opposite of what my family had taught me.
Yeah.
Right.
And I never went back. Yeah, so I got educated really early on.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned a lot of bad things growing up.
Multiple opportunities.
I think everybody.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That you have to unlearn.
Sure. And I think the other part of it is that you know, it's that same thing. It's so funny growing up, but I don't know about you, but one of the lines my parents constantly said is, life is not fair. And
yeah, yeah, I heard that one a few times.
I heard that too.
Well, the value though of that when you go to work is not fair.
It sure is.
Yeah. And so when you come, because I think that's also one of the things that gets kicked up with someone who behaves passively aggressively towards you. Like, what did I do to you that you're now freezing me out, or you're now keeping me out, you now cut me out of that project, or you now ignored me at a certain event, or I can tell you a really glorious and horrible passive-aggressive thing is when someone is giving credit, you know, let's say it's an evening of acknowledgement, and they acknowledge everybody but you.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's a real lalapalooza.
Yeah, that doesn't feel good.
Mm-mm. No. No. So that's part of the workplace is learning to manage your reaction in terms of those events.
Right.
In that case. Not going and
we need to meditate
you stand
in that moment.
Up, you just say stand a prayer. Up.
You just go to the bathroom and scream. And
you stand up and say, hey. "Hand me that mic. I know you forgot to mention me, but hey."
Yeah, like in Bridesmaids. I don't know if you saw that movie. That's what. I forgot the comedian. Anyway, that's not important.
Melissa.
No, she was really good in that movie.
Kirsten or Kristen something.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, she just takes the mic and starts talking.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I would confront that. I would say something.
Yes.
If I cared, if I cared enough, I would say something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I know that some people don't like me because I'm straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
mm-hmm.
bad for them.
Yeah.
Because then that's clearly somebody who can't be honest themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this saying the other day, which is, you know, a good friend is someone who does tell you the truth, mm-hmm. not someone who doesn't tell you.
Right.
And then you know, learn the hard way.
Sure, right. Sure.
So if you don't want honesty and you don't want straightforward communication, I feel bad for those people because I think they don't live a truly true life, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I agree. And at the same time, this is our bias, right? That there's value in that because then you're authentic, and then that means your relationship's authentic, and that means your communication is real.
And therefore, you have a better life. It's totally
totally
judgment on my part. I admit that.
Someone has to come down somewhere in this conversation. All right, join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.